Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at ninja strategies to grow your business on LinkedIn. I'm joined in this episode by America's leading LinkedIn coach, Ted Prodromo. Ted is the number one best-selling author of Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn for Business and Ultimate Guide to Twitter for Business. People call him America's leading LinkedIn coach. He is the founder of Search Marketing Simplified LLC, a full-service online marketing agency. The SMS team designs and implements advanced LinkedIn and social media lead generation strategies for small to medium-sized businesses. SMS will set up and manage your marketing funnels using organic, social, and pay traffic. Ted has been working with the internet since 1991, long before Al Gore invented it. If you have not checked out my new podcast, Cashflow Investing Secrets, you totally should. You're missing out. I would highly recommend it. It's a shorter show, 10 minutes or less, where I share one concept and or idea at a time. What I've learned from interviewing over 500 Cashflow Ninjas. You can listen to the show on your favorite podcast, video, and live streaming platform. We also have an investment group and community for accredited investors. If you're interested to join the group, please visit CashflowNinjaInvestorsNetwork.com. You can also join us on Facebook by searching Cashflow Ninja Community. My friend Brian Page has created a cash flow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have you on and so happy to connect again. Enjoyed our previous conversation. Ted, for folks and all of my listeners out there that's not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and your journey?
Sure. It's been a kind of wild journey. I never dreamed. Yeah, I started in the 1980s in the computer industry, fixing computers. It was wild. We actually had to fix computers back in those days.
Oh, that's right. You didn't have to toss them like you just do now, right?
No. We soldered them and had to replace parts. And then computer networking was invented. I learned that from the beginning. And then I got into the cellular industry when Cellular One had 40 employees. So it's a great ride. And I remember saying like in 1999 or so, like, I have been blessed with like the 20-year career from heaven. I couldn't get any better. I'm never going to have to worry about money, never going to have to worry about a job. And the universe knocked me down. The .com crash.
Yep.
Totally wiped me out. Got certified as a coach thinking, okay, time for a career change. Didn't know how to market, couldn't get clients, didn't know how to sell. So I spent really the last 19 years learning marketing and selling and really getting focused on that.
Let's touch on that .com crash a little bit, because a lot of folks talk about the last financial crisis, right? When we reflect on a big event in our life and the lessons that we learned and so forth. And we've not really talked a lot about this in that industry. What were some of the things that you saw? What were some of the warning signs? And what are some of the lessons that you take out of that and that you've applied in your business? Because I'm sure there was possibly just core principles involved, with it being technology, but still core business principles involved in the process.
Yeah, boy, it was the wild, wild west. It was, you know, there was companies popping up. I live in San Francisco area. So there was literally companies like trying to build anywhere they could in Silicon Valley. It was like filling up like crazy. It's like all these companies like, well, that's an interesting idea, but how are you going to make money? And you just kept seeing all these companies and they kept going public. I had one guy I knew, his coworker went to one of these startups. He got stock options. And at one point, he was worth $70 million on paper. So he actually took extra mortgages out on his house to buy more stock options. And his company, he never lasted the 5 years to get fully vested. It blew up. He lost his house. He lost literally his life savings. And at one point, he thought he was worth $70 million. So a lot of dreams went up in smoke, literally.
Wow. And what you're saying too is a lot of companies went up and you were asking yourself, how do they make money? That kind of, you know, they say, Mark Twain says, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, right?
Yes. And I always work for companies like Digital and IBM. I was working for the big company. I never got a job at one of the dot-com startups. So I thought my job was secure too, but when everything went down, like 500,000 people lost their job within 12 months in Silicon Valley.
Wow.
And I was one of them. Literally, you're out the door. You're mid-40s, early 40s, middle manager. You're being outsourced to India or wherever. It's mostly India at that time.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a real wake-up call. And then I thought, you know, for 20 years, I always could get a new job. And the next day, I thought, this won't last long. I'll figure this out. After like a year or two, I really could not find another job. That career literally was gone. They burned the bridge. I couldn't go back to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a lot happening during that stage too, because I think if you put together all of the pieces, China entered the World Trade Organization in 2001, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's also another missing piece. And then we went heavy, full steam into outsourcing and call centers. I remember that was kind of the hot thing of the moment. I was in the US already, but I visited South Africa every single year and I had family and friends there. And I know that there was a lot of call centers going up in South Africa. So there's a whole, I mean, it was a different world that basically started. And especially with a big economic powerhouse now like China entering the World Trade Organization at that stage too.
Yeah. No, everything was turned upside down, literally.
Like, yeah.
Where do we start?
Incredible. And then, of course, the world, this one came a little bit slowly. I mean, there were a couple, you know, with social media, this next sort of wave of revolution, you know, technology revolution, and then the apps kind of came after that, or at the same kind of pace, really. What were some of the things that you saw there? What were some of the opportunities that you saw as you entered this world of coaching and you studied marketing and you try to familiarize yourself with marketing and try to learn more about it?
Well, I went through the coaching certification, which took a year. Then I did another certification for leadership coaching. So 2 years, I spent a lot of money getting certified. And that's when I thought, oh, okay, I'm ready to go. I can get all these people that lost their jobs. I can help them, coach them, and help them get back on their feet. They didn't have any money. They didn't want to spend any money at that time. So that's when I really realized I need to go learn marketing and sales. So I started going to Dan Kennedy conferences and reading all the books I could on sales and marketing, going to workshops, met a lot of good people. And that's really when internet marketing was really starting to take off, or it didn't take off for a few years. But, you know, they went through that first phase before 2000, where Yahoo, everything was making money, all these sites, but nobody was going to put their credit card online at the time. Remember those days? Like, oh no, I can't put my credit card online. Somebody will steal it. So there's that trust factor. And then they really learned how to make money, these companies. And that's where I kind of got into the beginning of all that, watching it all evolve. That's when I fell in love with that search engine optimization and, you know, Google Ads. That was the first thing I really learned, Google Ads. And that, they weren't the greatest thing for selling your coaching services, but I learned that.
Right, right. I mean, I'm reflecting now back at the time. And we've come such a long way, right, where we would not even put any banking information online. Now, we just do it through apps. We do it on smartphones.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
11 years ago, Steve Jobs held up that iPhone and said, this is the next generation.
It's a supercomputer in the palm of your hand with all of the attention and eyes and ears and everything. I mean, it's literally, what was it? Video killed the radio star was the one rock band was singing that. But
yeah,
I mean, this literally took down the internet, TV, it took down everything.
I just saw my friend posted a newspaper article from 1953. And it was some guy in the telephone industry back then when it was just AT&T or whatever it was back then. And he said, telephones are going to change our lives. We're going to be addicted to them. Everyone will be carrying them around with them and we won't be able to put them down. It's like 1953, this guy had that vision. Yeah. When I worked for Cellular One in the early 90s, they said the same thing. Everyone's going to have their own phone and their phone number for life. And we're going to be using them for all kinds of things. Like the internet wasn't even really going then when that was happening.
That's crazy.
Why would we want to check email on our phones? We're like, why would we want that?
Right.
Now, look at us.
I'm sure it would have been very interesting to sit around a table with George Orwell and your friend, right? Or that person right. that wrote that article. The other thing that I find fascinating too is the whole app thing, where, because we all had kind of our Blackberries, right? That they called Crackberries at one stage because everybody was so addicted to them.
Right.
And then it kind of evolved where you would download all these different separate apps. And there's this one gentleman that I follow that did really, really well in the app world because he wasn't the first person that started online dating business, right? Match was already established. There was a couple of other ones, but he literally took one. I think it was called Zoosk, but he took it and built an app for online dating. And now we created a new market, and people at the time said to him too, like, apps. Who's going to download an app to their phone and then have all these different apps on their phone if you could just have everything on your computer and use it that way? And he was saying the same thing too, like, look, people are going to bank through apps, and that's the future. And again, people were looking at him with, you know, if he had like three or four heads at the time, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Even with social media, I mean, now we have different apps on our phone that we can just jump back and forth to instead of opening. I mean, it's almost like a browser technically, right?
We have apps to sort our apps now.
Right. it's quite incredible. So one of the areas that you've really, really opened up a world, and I'm learning a lot just looking at some of the content that you've created, and you've got a book about it too, is LinkedIn. Everybody knows about Facebook. You know, Instagram was obviously owned by Facebook, but very, very hot at one stage. And, you know, then we have snapped. I mean, it seems like there's a hot one. LinkedIn has kind of been around for a while, but it's really, really gaining traction. And there's a lot of attention and a lot of folks using this in different ways. What can you share with my listeners about LinkedIn? And maybe they're on there and they just have an account, but they're not really engaged on it. What's going on with LinkedIn?
Oh my gosh, everybody's got a LinkedIn account these days.
Yeah.
And you probably signed up 10 years ago or so. It came out 15 years ago.
Yep.
I got my account in early 2005.
Right.
And it's basically you uploaded your resume. It took you through a little questions like, you know, where did you work? Blah, blah, blah. And it was your online resume. So, of course, we created our account and didn't log in for a year or so because there's no reason to.
Sounds like me.
Right. But over the years, they've been trying to make it more interactive. What do they say? Like Facebook has over 2 billion users and 50% log in every single day for at least an hour.
Wow.
That's just mind-boggling. So LinkedIn wants to get people to come back because the more people come back, the more they see ads, the more revenue or more opportunities for LinkedIn to make money. So they keep adding more features to it. Microsoft bought them 2.5 years ago, and they're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we don't really know what's going on, but Revenue is up 30% per quarter the last 8 quarters in a row for LinkedIn. And engagement is up 30% per quarter. So that means 20% of people logged in only once a month or less, or more than once a month. Now 60% are logging in more than once a month. So they're getting us to come back, I guess, to read news, to read articles, industry updates. But it's untapped goldmine still.
It's quite incredible because, as you mentioned, I mean, while most folks might not have a Facebook account or an Instagram or a Snapchat or a TikTok or all the, you know, the Baskin Robbins of flavors of other apps and accounts, most people most likely, for even for professional purposes, have a LinkedIn account.
Right. And most people say, I hate LinkedIn because it's so boring over there. It's like, Alex Mondosian is a good friend of mine. He has a great line for it. LinkedIn is like a library where everybody's quiet and polite. The same people go over to Facebook a minute later and they're like a playground. They let their hair down and they're like a totally different person.
That's a very, very good way of putting it. And for our listeners out there too, there's a lot of business owners. There's a lot of real estate investors and there's a lot of high earning professionals on there. What are some of the metrics just on that? Because we've got a lot of folks that have their own businesses and maybe they sell to businesses. We have a lot of folks that raise capital for their deals. There's some private folks looking for private lending opportunities and much, much more. What can you share with regards to the folks that are on there and active in there in groups and all of the other features that it has?
Well, remember the old days? I don't know if you remember this far back. Our contact database was that Rolodex sitting on our desk, which was the cards, business cards, literally you'd spin it to the right letter of the alphabet.
Yep.
And it was just people we had met and then we exchanged business cards. And that was our professional network. And what I went through after the .com crash, those people, all these people I'd done business with for 20 years, all of a sudden their companies were out of business. And we didn't have cell phones really back then. We didn't have email. AOL was just getting going. And so my whole contact database literally disappeared. I could not reach these people. I had no idea where they were.
Wow.
So now LinkedIn, it let me reconnect with all those people that I wanted to connect with. And it's just a giant phone book of every business professional that wants to do business.
It's quite incredible. Yeah.
It's like Google, but it's a business-to-business search engine.
What are some of the strategies that you could share with folks for successful, I would say, accounts and how to use it as a business owner, whether it's just a regular business, online business, or a real estate business?
Well, this is just mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it, but for some reason, people treat you differently when you're online. They think you're like a bot at the other end. And when I fixed computers in the 80s, I would call up somebody, they'd log a service call, and I'd call up to say, okay, what's the problem? You know, get some ideas what parts I need to bring. And they would be yelling at me on the phone, like, my computer's broken, blah, blah, blah. They'd be just ripping me a new one. It's like, this is ridiculous. And then I'd show up on site and they're like a totally different person. I'd go, oh, come over here. Here's a computer. Can you fix it? They treated me totally different when they saw me. So treat people on LinkedIn. They're real people over there at the other end of that message you're sending. Don't treat them like you can spam them and they're going to buy from you. Build relationships with real people and you get repeat business. You get long-term customers. It just works so well. You stand out like a sore thumb too. You're probably getting those aggressive sales pitch messages now.
Yeah, the copy and paste ones that I'm getting about four of them from four different people simultaneously.
Every day, do you need help with LinkedIn? I'm like, did you read my profile?
I just wrote a book on it.
My LinkedIn profile is full of LinkedIn.
Yeah. Absolutely, because yeah, this is again not the way to, like you said, to have a personal touch with it, build relationships with people. It's a great tool, and I haven't really used it much, but now lately too, when I meet folks in person, I, you know, request them on LinkedIn. I send them a little note saying, hey, it was great to meet you. You know, let's stay in touch. We talked about X, Y, and Z. Let me know if you need help with that, something like that. So it's like, if you start to think of it as that professional network and Rolodex, those big things that used to be on your on desks, it makes a lot more sense that way. What are some of the other things that you can share with folks in order just to build out a battle plan? Because I'm sure that some folks are sitting and going, all right, so how do I attack this? What do I do? How, what is the time? What is the time commitment that I would have to put in for success? Do I have to live on this thing like Facebook? Right. Maybe you can, yeah, share a little bit more.
So LinkedIn's a search engine and people are looking for help. I have a problem. I need a new account or whatever. They're going to go search for accountant San Francisco maybe. And I would never do this. I actually, financial advisor told me he gets a lot of business from LinkedIn of people just randomly searching for him and they connect and he gets business. Like, wow, if I'm going to hire a financial advisor, I'd want personal recommendations, but
yeah,
to each his own.
Right.
So people are searching for you on there for what problems you solve. The first thing I do is say, make your profile client-centric, not about you. Most people make it all about them. I went to this school. I won these awards, blah, blah, blah. People don't care about that. I have a problem. I need an attorney right now, or I need whatever. I need a realtor. I've got to sell my house and move. I just got transferred. So they go to LinkedIn and search for certain skills or keywords. And you can put those in your profile and you'll appear in those searches, just like your SEO for your website. The same principle. So yeah, when people come across, 70% of people are using this to access LinkedIn now, their phone. So what you want to do is you got to make a great first impression. As they're scrolling past, they do that search, your profile stands out. So that little background image, put something there that tells people how you help them and who you help. Make it professional, or do you just put your logo back there? And then in your headline under your name, who do you help and what problem do you solve? That pre-qualifies the people that stop on your profile. Like, I help coaches get more high-end clients, something like that. But I treat it like a book. This, people really get this analogy. Think you're in the bookstore and you see a book title on a book. So you pick up the book and like, oh, that title got my attention. That's what your professional headline is. You want to get their attention. And then what you do, you open up the book and read the inside cover. Or if it's paperback, the back cover. That tells you more about the book. In this kind of a story format. If you make your about section like that, like a story that talks about the problem you solve and why you solve that problem, and even share if you've been through that. I put in there like, my career blew up in 2000 with the dot-com crash, 2008, my business blew up again. I got a job after that, got laid off after they quadrupled their revenue. I tell those stories of my failure. I go, oh God, I went through the same stuff. So you build a relationship with people. And then your experience section is all your credibility, where you went to school and where you've worked.
Yeah.
That's kind of my methodology. Direct, Dan Kennedy, direct marketing method.
And keeping it very, very simple, not overthinking it. I help, you know, busy professionals invest for cash flow in real estate, right? Hard assets. Right.
Exactly.
So I help to them develop
or create income streams. If you search for realtor, or search LinkedIn for realtor after this call, you'll see like, millions, literally millions of people, their job title will be realtor. Like, okay, what kind of realtor? Who do you work with? Where do you do it?
It right. just
narrows down your clients.
Right. And the first thing, if using that realtor analogy, is not to say, I did a quazillion dollars in sales last year and was voted the best, you know, insert name of company here agent in the world, because that doesn't tell you anything of who you serve, right. And what problems you solve for them.
I help busy professionals generate passive income through real estate.
Right. First time home buyers, or folks moving cities, or something like that. Absolutely. What are some of the other tactical stuff that you can share with regards to becoming a magnet, using the Dan Kennedy, the magnetic marketing, on LinkedIn through some of the content that you post and some of the other things that you do tactically on there?
So because LinkedIn is a library and it's really boring and quiet, I like to have fun. Go the other way. So when I connect with people, I'll send them a welcome message. And it's not, hi, I'm Ted. Do you want to buy from me? Give me your credit card. It's more like, hey, thanks for connecting. Real casual. Like I would be talking to you right now like this.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for connecting. Just for fun, tell me something interesting I wouldn't know from your LinkedIn profile. Like, oh my God, 20% of people reply to that and tell me something totally off the wall about themselves. It starts a conversation different than the business conversation. And then right. I have a page on my website called LinkedIn Friends. I say, if you want to learn something interesting about me, visit my LinkedIn Friends page. And I put a link to my website where I've got information about me. I tell stories. I have free videos where they can learn about my LinkedIn process. And it engages them. And also, they can get on my email list over there. So just short little conversations. LinkedIn actually told me this. I write articles for LinkedIn. They found me on LinkedIn. Can you believe it?
They must have searched for you.
I know. They go, wow, you make a living teaching LinkedIn. That's fascinating. I actually went to their headquarters and met with their senior vice presidents. But they were saying from their research, they watch every message that goes by. 500 characters or less, your message should be just short and to the point, because people will not scroll and read the whole long message. So just 9-word email is another tactic. Short and sweet. Dean Jackson came up with this. Ask a question in 9 words or less. Like, are you still looking to invest in real estate? And if they say yes, then you start that conversation. And don't just cut and paste scripted messages. Have a type back and forth with the person.
Yeah.
Take some time. Take 15 or 20 minutes a day and have fun.
You're listening to the Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for higher yield returns from ATM machines and self-storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their ATM and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor. MC Lobsterier, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. You're listening to the Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. It's quite interesting. That one is really, really good too, the length of the message, because we live in a world that, I mean, we collectively have the attention span of a gnat these days. Yes. So even to scroll down, I think folks don't even want to do that. They literally just want to see it right there and reply to it. And that's just something I picked up from a lot of the, you know, not the human element, but a lot of the chatbots, which is based on algorithms, for example, on Facebook, which a lot of people are doing these messenger marketings, which obviously is done a lot through algorithms and computer, but they keep it literally the same as you just said it. Very, very short and sweet.
I tease my wife because when she calls her friends and leaves a voicemail, remember that voicemail? She'll go on and say, hi, Jane, blah, blah, blah. And she'll go talk for 5 minutes and leave this extended message. I'm like, She's not going to listen to that whole message. Just say, hey, Jane, just checking in, see how you're doing. Give me a call when you get a chance. Or if it's something important, just say what's important and call me as soon as you can. So you do the same thing with the messages. Don't give the whole sales pitch in one message.
Right, right. Another way that folks interact and engage is with groups. Is that something that folks should try and explore on LinkedIn too? Can you speak a little bit to the power of groups on there?
The groups used to be really good. Like people would go there and ask questions like, I need help with my email or whatever. Now, I don't know, people just over the years taught this, just blast articles into the group. So if you write a new article, there's tools you can actually blast it to every group you belong to. And if you go to the most groups, there's like zero likes, zero comments on that content. So there's no interaction, no dialogue anymore. There's some groups there are.
Yeah.
They're few and far between. So I really kind of just avoid groups. I join them. I belong to probably 80 groups still. And I guess that extends your network.
Yeah.
So the algorithm, actually, you know, when you connect to somebody and then into your network, there's all these pictures. You may also know these people. Most of your profile views actually come from that. So that's why that little snippet is so important. Your picture, the background, and your professional headline. You're in front of thousands of people every day in that. You may also know. They build that profile of you, where you went to school, where you work, where you live, what industry you're in, and they'll put you in front of more people they think they'd be interested in connecting with you.
Right. Other features that LinkedIn has, it's evolving too. I see that a lot of folks are starting to do live streams, which is the flavor, this Baskin Robbins flavor of the moment. Is that being rolled out to everyone soon? Because I know I don't think it's open to the public yet. I might be wrong. And then also, what other things do you see coming down the pipeline for these for LinkedIn?
Yeah, I said in January that's coming out to everybody.
Okay.
My video. But now here we are in November and it's still not out.
Gotcha. So they said 2019, January of 2019, and it's still not out. Okay.
It's rolling out slowly. They don't want to overwhelm support. They said, like, I know a lot of people that have gotten it recently. And I've applied, actually. You can go and apply.
Yeah.
And I'll look at your profile. I guess I didn't make the cut because
I applied actually for it too. And I don't think I made the cut. That's why I'm asking.
A very general message saying if you get approved, we'll let you know. Like,
yeah.
What does that mean? But I'm seeing a lot. My friend's been doing it. He does medical marketing for money.
Yeah.
And he's getting thousands of views on his live videos. He's getting a lot of traction from it.
Yep.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think, and maybe that's part of it, that some certain folks, as they roll it out slowly, because the folks that are already doing it, it's been a gold mine. I've spoken to another person that's very, very active on it. And he said, I do it every single day because, again, the traction, the interaction, the views, he gets in front of a lot of folks. So it's worked very, very well. So that's definitely something I would tell folks to keep their eyes open for.
Well, I've been recording through the LinkedIn app. You can record a video.
Okay.
And then upload it directly to LinkedIn. It's not live though, so you don't get the interaction, but you get a lot of views that way too.
That's another great tip right there. Pro tip. Because this I learned from Facebook. Facebook, you know, in the algorithms penalized you if you posted a link to a video that took them to YouTube, right? Or took them away from the platform. So as you mentioned, this now to upload things directly to it instead of, you know, just randomly posting your YouTube link on all of this on Facebook and so forth, you get kind of penalized in the algorithms and your reachability and visibility because you're taking folks away from the app on the phone.
When that first came out, the native video, they call it, I created a short video and I held up a piece of paper and I said, everybody keeps asking me what they should do on LinkedIn every day. They have no idea. So I created a cheat sheet, 10 things you can do on LinkedIn every day. And it's real basic stuff, but I just held up the cheat sheet. I said, if you want a copy of this, type in cheat sheet below. I got 103,000 video views.
Wow.
Over 2,300 comments. And then I had made people connect with me if I wanted to connect with them. And then I messaged it through LinkedIn. So my assistant and I were busy for like a week, literally keeping up with it. But I ended up getting like 937 very solid leads out of it.
Oh, wow.
So it was worth the effort. And of course, I haven't done it again.
This is, this is another great idea for folks listening out there that's trying to utilize that platform. You know, instead of inboxing and spamming all these, you know, let's just say low-hanging fruit, a lot of real estate investors would reach out to lawyers, doctors, high-paid professionals, successful folks, you know, when they're raising capital or, you know, they have certain investments available. This could be to, you know, think of something creatively that you can do, like you were just mentioning, to attract them to you, you know, so come up with a little short list or do a video in some small way, because now you're actually going to get leads out of it and just not annoy a lot of people, right?
Checklists. People love checklists. So if you had like 10 things you can do to prepare for 2020 tax-wise or to invest in 2020, here are things you need to know. But people don't want to click on links in the messages anymore for obvious reasons because of the viruses.
Right.
Malware. So you just attach it as, would you like a copy of this? Then you send it as an attachment in LinkedIn.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't click on any links. I don't know about you. I'm terrified.
No, especially not the ones that ask me to put my passport, my password rather, my online passport, I guess, my password in there to access the link, right? That's phishing, by the way, folks. Never do that because then they'll hack into your account. Yeah. This has been great stuff already. What are some of the key things if we're looking at a framework for a battle plan for, let's just say 2020, because we're now in November, I can't believe it. But a battle plan for 2020, if some of our listeners are saying, hey, I'm going to attack LinkedIn this year, this is the framework that I'll work on. What could you share with our listeners?
So my favorite tool is Sales Navigator. So it's a subscription. It's a separate app from LinkedIn, mm-hmm. but it lets you do extended searches for people. So that's something I've come up with recently. I've kind of came across this. Like, I used to coach my son's baseball team 20 years ago. And now these kids are 28 years old and they're reaching out to me. They have in sales at these companies. Can you show me how to use Sales Navigator? Because I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I can set up searches in Sales Navigator for like a company with a sales team of 5 to 15 people or so. And I can even look and say, show me companies, this small sales team of 5 to 10 people, and they're growing 25% a year, adding to that department. So I know the sales department's growing. Then I'll reach out to the sales manager and say, hey, is your team using Sales Navigator? That's a simple question. You don't give them any more information. If they say yes, say, hey, would you like to see some training or do you need any help? Something like that. So you can do these extended searches and then save them. They run 24 hours a day. And then you send me the results. Here's 700 more people that meet your search criteria. So if you're looking for real estate investors, a lot of them put real estate investor in their profile.
Yep. Wow. Just
reach out, send a little message, and build a relationship. You can actually, in Sales Navigator, see when they're last active. They've last posted on LinkedIn, so you know they're active too. You don't waste your time with those people that don't log in.
Right. That is very powerful right there.
In 15 to 20 minutes a day, you can make a lot of headway on LinkedIn.
It's super, super powerful. So that's finding and getting in the folks. We've already talked about messaging a little bit, what to say to them, starting a conversation. And then obviously magnetic marketing is attracting the right folks through some of the content pieces. What would you say from a content plan and just putting certain things out, what would be recommended? A daily content plan, a video a day, a couple of videos a week? What are some of the things that you've seen in best practice work best?
I used to do the LinkedIn articles. Remember LinkedIn Pulse a few years ago?
Yep.
You can post full-length articles on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And I've seen that the last 6 months or so, they don't get that many views anymore. Even if I'll post the article and then I'll take the link and post it as an update.
Oh.
And I'll even do the update a few times and still don't get many views on the articles for some reason. But when you do your videos, oh my gosh, they seem to go crazy. So short, couple minute video. My one video was like 59 seconds long that gave away the cheat sheet. So just give a daily tip or give something going on, like interest rates just dropped again. How's that going to affect your real estate investing? And be the expert. It doesn't have, don't do long ones.
Yeah.
People are on their phone and they're watching and putting those little captions on at the beginning even. You don't have to put all of it in even just to get their attention. And then they'll unmute and listen to you.
This is great. Because that's the other thing that I was just thinking about too, that, and I'm so great that you just shared this, because the articles is a big thing at one stage where they said that the SEO in LinkedIn was really good. But now, as you mentioned, that that's kind of gone away and it moves to video. And that's the other thing that I've learned too, folks, is that things change constantly in this world. So you've got to stay up to date. You've got to find folks that are, they live and breathe this stuff, right? So you've got to stay on top of that and then stay up to date of what's going on the platform. Because I'll just give you an example. Instagram, this was like 3 weeks ago, just changed an algorithm. And all of a sudden, it shut down a lot of folks just off organic reach, right, with hashtags and so forth. So now there's different strategies for the folks that live and breathe it. The same's going to happen on LinkedIn. So the same, Ted can keep you up to date with all of this different stuff as he's living and breathing this and seeing what's happening with it.
These marketing people, they go out there and, hack the system and figure out ways around it. And then they close it down. Like Facebook, you used to get tons of traction on your Facebook page and your Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Now you got to pay to play, even in your own group that you paid to build.
That's the other thing, because what is it, less than, I think it's less than 10 or 7% or something like that of folks that are following your page there, just get your feed, right, of your page.
One change LinkedIn made about 6 months ago, your company page on LinkedIn.
Yep.
When you posted content there, it's only people that followed it saw it. It's like, I might have 100 followers online because I never did put much effort into it.
Yeah.
But now if I post content there, it gets pushed out to my whole network. And if I use hashtags, it goes out to everybody following those hashtags.
Oh, wow.
So they're really putting a big push. They don't call it company page anymore. They just call it page. And they're calling it a community, but I don't see a lot of community aspect to it yet. But that's kind of where they're going. They want to make that like your Facebook page, where there's a lot of interaction.
So hashtags is kind of key to include there too, because folks are using that. I mean, that was a big thing on Instagram and Twitter. That was the two big ones that really took hashtags to the stratosphere. Yeah.
So LinkedIn, you search for the hashtag, like search for hashtag sales, and there's like 15 million people following it. And you click follow, and it goes into your newsfeed. Everything that hashtag sales shows up in your newsfeed. So you can see all the other people interested in your topic. So you can hashtag real estate, hashtag investing.
Very, very good. Anything else that our folks should know about? We've got a lot of great stuff. You're ready to build a plan to really become LinkedIn ninjas. What else would you share with regards to this very, very powerful platform?
Well, one of my good friends, he does marketing too. And like I kept saying for years, you got to just get on LinkedIn and fill out your profile and be active a little bit. So he went to another networking group and saw another LinkedIn person present. She said, just go log in for 10 minutes a day and do something every day. So he started doing that. And his profile views skyrocketed. He's getting all kinds of connection requests. Like, gosh, he wouldn't listen to me, but listen to a stranger. But just log in for 10 or 15 minutes a day. Connect with some people, accept your invitation, send a few messages, have fun. If you see a good article like in the New York Times or some business-related content, share it. People like that kind of stuff, like from Forbes or Fortune or real estate investing magazines, whatever the trade industry, just share that kind of content. It makes people perceive you as an expert. Like I have stuff automatically post from Forbes and different places and people are like, oh, great article. When did you get to write for Forbes? I'm like,
there you go. This was the other thing that I wanted to ask. Any social media schedulers that you found pretty helpful? I've played around with Hootsuite. I've used Meet Edgar. Any of those ones that you currently use and that you would recommend we would check out?
I used Hootsuite for years, but I have queues of content. I actually hired writers on Upwork.com, social media writers in the US, and I gave them my manuscript of my latest book. So I hired five of them and said, you got 2 hours to write social media posts from excerpts of my book. And they went crazy. So I hired three of them again because they did a great job. I got 500 posts that are excerpts from my book. And I have made some of them into images and I can schedule them in Sendable, sendable.com. And when the queue runs out, it restarts automatically. So I can keep adding more to each queue. So I've got these things going. I put 4 or 5 posts a day on LinkedIn. And also that Sendable pulls in that content from Forbes and Fortune and Inc. magazine, Entrepreneur magazine. So I post about 20 times a day on LinkedIn and just people perceive I'm an expert. They go, oh, you post so often. When do you have time to do all this? Like, I just smile.
I leverage the resources available. That's super powerful here too, because that is, I mean, these, I'm definitely going to check out Sendable. Meet Edgar. It's a social media manager basically that drops in the content at certain hours as you schedule it to go out across the day and across different time zones, especially if you have a global business, right? Because your business is running 24/7.
And then it tells you what content people are responding to too, so you know to create more of that content.
Yep, absolutely.
Does Meet Edgar do the queues?
Yeah, so it's got like I guess they call it a library. So as soon as you create a post of an article or a video, you then can tag it and it goes into, like, for instance, YouTube videos or articles or guest appearances or, you know, like for me, the Cashflow Ninja, you know, episodes. And right. Then you just schedule it throughout the day. Hey, I'd like at 9 a.m. or usually what I do is 6, 7, and 8. I post a lot of YouTube videos and episodes because people would be commuting in the States. Right. And then the same thing at 5. So they would listen to audio more than read an article. That's my
perfect.
I guessed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've had ups and downs. You've persevered. You stuck through it. You've had a lot of success. What are some of the things that's working personally and professionally in a business in your life, and why does it work?
I worked with a lot of the big marketing guys, mentors, and for years they said, you leave a lot of money on the table, Ted. It's because I'm honest and I just won't take people's money unless I can truly believe they help them. Like these guys, I've paid $10,000 and $20,000 for coaching from these big guys. And I know a lot of people in the group, they were never going to make any money, but these guys never would say no to their money. So over the years, now comes from my mother, my father, just coming up. Be honest, treat people with respect and don't rip them off.
That's absolutely.
I could put another couple $1 million in the bank, but I chose to work with people I truly believe I could help.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Now, one habit I've observed from very wealthy and successful folks is that they're always learning and studying, and you're in that marketing and this changes constantly. What are some of the things you're learning and studying right now?
Copywriting is kind of my little thing I've been really refocused on. I learned it years ago, but I've been really, really working on it because just you got to get your message through so quickly and so you only get a short space anymore to get through to people. Everybody's on their phones. One or two lines, you got to get their attention and make them go to your website or whatever you're trying to make them do. So I think copywriting is just, I've been studying. I've got like tons of books behind me here on copywriting and just went to Florida last week for Copy Chief, which is a community I belong to. It's all copywriters and it's the best of the best. So I don't really do copywriting for a living, but these people are just, they're on top of it. Those are the skills that don't go away. You know, the method the message gets delivered changes, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, whatever.
Yep.
But the words matter and the connection you make with people matters.
Yep. It's so true. And I mean, copywriting, we used to get, you know, letters or ads. I mean, this has been something that's been around for a very long time. And it's a very, very unique and very powerful skill set for anyone, any business that you're in.
And the theories they did 100 years ago, the methods still work today because we're human beings and our mind still works pretty much the same way.
Yep.
It's a little different. We're bombarded more now, but...
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a saying that I forgot who said it, but it resonated with me when he said the jungle always wins. Right. And what he was saying was that human nature always wins. When you go against human nature, you struggle. When you go with it, you're going in the direction that the jungle's going in human nature, and human nature kind of stays the same, tying into copywriting. So it's a very, very powerful skill set.
Yeah.
Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Well, I want to mention just the honesty. It's like my parents owned a restaurant. We grew up in a restaurant. You had to be honest with people. If your food wasn't good, you couldn't be. But the honesty and integrity is another one with me. I've always been deep in my core values, honesty and integrity. And today with all the fake stuff out there, you don't know what's true and what's not true. And people are like so relieved if you don't rip them off, it seems like. There's so many scams out there.
Yeah.
I get probably 50 phone calls a day on my cell phone that has this software that blocks scam calls.
Yep.
So honesty and integrity are two of my big core values and building relationships. I mean, it's just been that restaurant, growing up in a restaurant, you build relationships with people. They keep coming back to you because they like you. They do business with people they know, like, and trust.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And that makes this all so much fun, right? And even meeting you through our mutual friends of ours, that's what makes this all so much fun and makes business fun and makes business so much fun in today's world, because we don't just have to exist in the towns or the cities that we live in, right?
Right. We have clients all over the world, right? You do too.
Yep. Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. Ted, where can folks learn more about you? Where can they follow you? Where can they get a copy of your book? Because, I mean, what you've already just shared here, I've just been scribbling notes all here as we're talking. You've already shared so much value with my folks. Where can they get a copy of that book, and where can they reach out to you and stay informed of all the projects that you're involved in?
Yeah, my website is yourlinkedincoach.com. You could try to spell my name, but I figured yourlinkedincoach.com is much easier. I'm always creating videos. I do more videos than articles these days because, like, people just show, hey, here's what's changed on LinkedIn.
Right.
And I do a lot of interviews like this I share on there. That's where you find everything about me. Connect with me, buy my book. I have a community. It's awesome.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And all the links will be in our show notes on our website, cashflowninja.com, or on the app that you're listening to. Ted, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. Like I said, I've already scribbled a ton of notes here. I've got some things that I am taking away from this and executing on right away. So appreciate you and thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/lifesettlements.
Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.